You're tuned in to the Grace Curley Show podcast. Listen to Grace live daily before Howie's show. For station and time, go to gracecurlyshow.com. Enjoy.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest, the Archduchess of the AM airwaves. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. What a day. Trump derangement syndrome is still going strong, despite the fact that Donald Trump is no longer the president of the United States. It does not matter. This is a powerful disease, and it will not go away. And I wanted to talk a little bit here about our poll question. I find it very interesting. Who is going to have the hardest time getting over Donald Trump? And it's seeming like it's going to be a tough competition. We have a lot of people in that poll question. Jared will read them for us. But I want you guys to call in because I'm already getting texts from people saying, you forgot X, Y, Z. Someone texted me and said, you forgot Stephen Colbert. There's a lot of people I'm forgetting. My memory only goes so far. My Rolodex is not that great. So 844-500-4242, call in with the person that over the last 4 years you really feel is the most Trump deranged. Jared, can you give us the list? And I kind of want to break it down piece by piece.
Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton.
Got it.
Chelsea Handler.
Yes.
Don Lemon.
Oof.
Deborah Messing.
Yep.
Nancy Pelosi. Joe Scarborough.
Yikes.
Adam Schiff. Chuck Schumer. Or Brian Stelter.
Those are a lot of really good ones, I have to say. I thought I forgot a lot of people, but that's a pretty good list. And the reason I find this interesting is because there's been so much talk lately about rehabilitating and re-educating and cleansing and purging Trump supporters. And the only people that I think are proving to have a cult-like obsession with Donald Trump are actually Democrats. So let's first play. This is Ben. You guys know Ben Rhodes. He was part of the Obama administration. He was the one who bragged about lying to the press and saying that basically all the reporters are so young, they'll believe anything you say. He didn't say lying, but that's what he meant. You know, they believe anything. They're all, you know, young guys or young girls, whatever. I'll find that exact quote. Ben Rhodes says some good quotes that Howie usually plays. But this was him talking about detoxing a segment of the population. Go ahead.
But there's a broader societal issue that is going to take many years to detox the disinformation, the lies, the hate that has been spread. A whole segment of the American population has been radicalized by what has happened over the last 4 years and by the fact that Donald Trump is no longer there. They can no longer see Donald Trump kind of representing their grievances in the highest office.
Detoxing. That might be the most offensive one to me yet, because that implies some sort of diet. And I will not be partaking in that. So they want to tell us all how crazy we are. And meanwhile, Stephen Colbert is actually saying this kind of stuff on national TV. This is Cut 25.
Today was the first full day on the job for President Biden. Oh, I got to say, that does feel good on the tongue. President Biden, that's like licking the frosting right off the spatula.
And now, if you're thinking to yourself, listen, Grace, he's just happy that Joe Biden won. It's been a hard 4 years from him. This is not his first offense. Sure. Not only. Okay, Jared. For gosh sakes, it's Friday, man. Not only is Stephen Colbert doing this on national TV, but he also broke one of my major rules here at the Grace Curley Show. He cried on television about politics. If you cried on television about something else, there's exceptions. You know, people get caught up in the moment, and I understand that. But crying about politics of any kind is usually pathetic. Listen to this cut. This was after Trump made his speech where he announced he was not going to concede the election. This was Stephen Colbert's totally mentally stable response.
So we all knew he would do this.
Is he licking a spatula?
What I didn't know is that it would hurt so much.
Honestly, give me the licking again. The spatula was less offensive than that. That was so bad. Sorry, that's
my heart hurts.
He kind of had a little bit of smacking in that one too. You hear that? Yeah, so Stephen Colbert is definitely up there. But also, not to be outdone, is Alec Baldwin. And this is why. Alec Baldwin spent years brutally mocking Trump on SNL. Wasn't that brutal for Trump? It was brutal for all of us who had to watch, because it was not funny. And he tweeted awful things about him. And recently, he even tweeted this about Ted Cruz, that he wanted to throw horse bleep on Ted Cruz, tar and feather him.
Consider the source.
Oh, no. Alec, the source is your Twitter. So it's legit. You don't have to worry. Then what ended up happening was Alec's wife got into a whole scandal because for years she pretended to be Spanish, and she's not. And she's actually from Boston. And then Alec got kind of quiet. I think he went off Twitter. But this guy was totally deranged for years and years and consumed with hate. So he's definitely up there.
How do you say in English? Cucumber?
Cucumbers.
How you say in English, Trump deranged? Yes, they are. Who am I missing here? Oh, and so Nancy Pelosi. We also have Nancy Pelosi. She's in the running. And here's why. Just a few days ago, she was on a podcast. You guys know. I don't have to tell you guys Hillary Clinton has a podcast. I know you all download it and listen to it. That's why it's right up there. It's right behind Joe Rogan on the top charts. And this is what she decided to say. Actually, we're going to hold off on that. But she was making a... they had a whole conversation about how Trump has ties to Putin. This is 4 years later, after an exhaustive investigation turned up nothing. Nancy Pelosi is not only still going through with the impeachment, but now she's saying that all roads still, $35 million later, and a huge investigation that turned up zero evidence, she's still clinging to this Putin narrative. It's really, really pathetic. And it really shows that she's insane. That's all there is to it. So her and Hillary are both, you know, at square one. Nothing's improved as far as they're concerned. Brian Stelter has spent the last, you know, few months really just watching Fox News obsessively. He's obsessed with Trump. He's obsessed with anyone who's friends with Trump. So he's definitely in the running. I see you guys waiting on the phone lines. I will get to that. We played, and obviously Chuck Schumer, because I think that if you're saying stuff about Trump inciting an insurrection, then you've lost your mind.
There will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the erection.
The senators are like, I don't want to decide that. No. It's wild. Susan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Susan.
Hi, Grace. The one you forgot was Robert De Niro. He's about as deranged as it gets when it comes to Trump.
Susan, you are absolutely right. He has given speeches, college graduation speeches, saying bleep Trump. He is insane in the membrane. That is a great, great point, Susan. We're not going to add him to the list. The list is already really long. And it looks like Nancy Pelosi is pulling away with it. But I like having that. Thank you, Susan. I appreciate that input. Dave, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry.
No problem. Go ahead.
I had three quick questions. So I was looking at the statistics on the Massachusetts website, and our percentages were lower in April, May, June, and July, and things were locked down. But now our percentages are higher, and we're opening things up. Two, if we can send a stimulus check out to every U.S. citizen and laptops to every child, why can't we send out a voucher to show up at a vaccination center at this time and date to get your vaccination if you want one? And three, they're never going to stop talking about Donald Trump because they need to hide what Joe's doing.
I totally agree. They're shifting the spotlight. They're keeping the spotlight on Donald Trump so that the spotlight never has to go on Joe Biden. As far as the other stuff, you're asking why the government doesn't function, and I can't answer that for you. Although I will say Van Jones is mesmerized by functional government. This is cut 11.
It's just mesmerizing just to watch a functional government doing functional government type things. I mean, just there was a press conference and there was a human and that person said words and the words made sense. And then somebody asked a question and then the person answered the question and they're just crying. Just, oh my God.
Wow. It's not even how much they hated Trump that's a giveaway. It's how much they're pretending to love Joe Biden that's a giveaway. Because I could take them more seriously if they said, hey, we really hated Trump. And now Joe Biden's in there and he's all right. I would deal with that. But for them to say we really hated Trump and Joe Biden is so much better. He's like Moses. That's when I go, you're pushing it a little much. It's a little bit of an overreach, but that's what they do. They do that all the time. By the way, guys, before we take more of your calls, 844-500-4242, I did mention Ben Rhodes. He was the one who said that we need to start detoxing. What was the exact cut there, Jared? We need to detox the Trump supporters.
Segment of the population, yes.
Oh, it's going to take years to detox a segment of the population. And what I was trying to tell you guys was there was an example when he worked for Barack Obama where he literally, this is from The Hill, he literally bragged to the New York Times about how easy it was for the administration to dupe reporters when shaping a narrative to their liking. All these newspapers used to have foreign bureaus. Now they don't. They call us to explain to them what's happening in Moscow and Cairo. Most of the outlets are reporting on world events from Washington. The average reporter we talked to is 27 years old, and their only reporting experience consists of being around political campaigns. That's a sea change. They literally know nothing. So Ben Rhodes is back. He's part of they're bringing the old team back together. And I thought I was kind of being harsh when I described him as bragging about lying, but that's exactly what that is.
I'm not saying his assessment of the media was incorrect. I mean,
absolutely.
Years have borne out that he was very observant on that point.
But here's the difference, Jared. That was when Barack was president. But when Trump was president, they weren't 27-year-old know-nothings. They were heroes. They didn't come here to be lectured to. They came here to change the world. And they did. Sorry, I'm getting choked up like Stephen Colbert. Guys, when we get back, we will take more of your calls, 844-500-4242. Who are we forgetting? Who has been so Trump deranged over the last 4 years and deserves a little bit of recognition? It's true what they say, a perfect smile is a smile can change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Every time I go out to dinner with the mailroom manager when we're in Florida, someone will stop her and say, you have the most beautiful smile. And it's true because a lot of people, they walk around their whole lives and they're worried about their smile. They feel insecure. If you're hearing this right now, this is your message to go to Perfect Smiles to get your teeth perfect because that's what you want. And you'll feel so much better. It's really amazing. What you can do is you can go to their website, watch the testimonials there, and you can hear real people talk about the real change that happened when they saw Dr. Bruce Houghton at Perfect Smiles. He really is an artist. And to add to that, he's an incredibly nice guy. Parking is free and the staff is warm and welcoming. They make everyone feel like a VIP. Have you been wanting to upgrade your look for years? Contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. By the way, I do want to add this in. A lot of people grind their teeth now. It's a very stressful time. That's really bad for your dental health. So you should go in and get that checked out anyway. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Like I said, change your smile. It might not seem like a big deal. It is. If you change your smile, you change your life. We'll be back with more Trump derangement after the break. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
What I was saying to him as I was pointing rudely at him, with you, Mr. President, all roads lead to Putin. I don't know what Putin has on him politically, financially, or personally.
Vladimir Putin?
No, we do know. It's nothing, remember? Unless he is... And this is part of their problem, the Democrats. They can't decide if Trump is the stupidest person in the world or the most brilliant. But I'm guessing that if you can have some sort of shady, corrupt dealings with Vladimir Putin and the country, the government can spend $35 million in 2 years investigating you and can't find any shred of evidence about it, you're pretty brilliant. You're like Lex Luthor, which is really what they think. Guys, I do want to tell you one thing before we get to the poll question here, and I see you on the lines, 844-500-4242. The question today is, who is the most Trump deranged? And I know what you're thinking. Oh, Grace, move on from Donald Trump. I'm trying, but these people can't. And who's going to have the hardest time letting go? I'm telling you, it's like an ex-girlfriend or an ex-boyfriend. They can't get over it, and they're just completely obsessed. I also should say, I ran another poll on my Twitter. We have a poll that we run at the gracecurlyshow.com where you can vote, but I did run a poll on my Twitter, and I want to talk about that in a minute. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 30 Heater. Today's the last day to order the Gen 30 Heater and get a free thunderstorm. This is close to $100 in savings. To order, go to EdenPure.com and put in code word thunder. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who'll have the hardest time moving on from Trump? Alec Baldwin, Hillary Clinton, Chelsea Handler, Don Lemon, Deborah Messing, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Scarborough, Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, or Brian Stelter?
It's hard because the celebrities are just so vapid and obsessed with him, and they don't know what to do with themselves, I'm sure. The media people, they've made, like Jared said, they've made household names. They become household names out of Trump. So that's hard too. But Pelosi, it's something deeper with her. It's something deeper. He broke her, and it's so obvious every time she talks. So I'm going to say Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy polling at 44%. Hillary's still in second place at 18%. Don Lemon at 14% in third.
All right. We do have a lot of people on the lines here who want to say who they think is the most Trump deranged. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Who do you got, Robert?
Okay. So I have three people to add to the list. Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, and Stephen Colbert. But I've been wanting to tell you a couple of days for this. The Democrats did have one thing absolutely correct all these years, and they proved it the other day. When Kamala Harris came up on stage, that you can put lipstick on a pig.
Dump that. So the three late night hosts, I'm going to say, that should all go in one category.
Yeah, I mean, and Kimmel seems to be the leader in that clubhouse. Like, I know Colbert cried, but I mean, Kimmel, to his credit, has been on the crusade since day one.
Yes, he has. And he's just not funny anymore. He doesn't even try to be. A lot of Jimmy Fallon still tries to be sometimes.
Well, remember when Jimmy Fallon got kind of at the beginning, his ratings were down because he wouldn't go there. He wouldn't go after Trump.
Right.
And then he kind of had to change it up in order to get some of the audience.
And I just want to say, I really don't like to make fun of how people look. I mean, I don't, it's just a side note to people. It's just not my thing. I like making fun of people's bad ideas, and I like kind of poking fun at people for being crazy, but I just don't go into the looks thing. I find it to be kind of mean. Keith, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Keith.
Grace.
Yeah, what's up, Keith?
You forgot the most important one. I'm very disappointed in you, young man.
Tell me, who is it?
Kathy Griffin.
Oh, you're totally right. The effigy that she had of Trump's bloodied head. And she's tweeted it since then. Very good, Keith. Very good. There's just so many. And we only have so many slots on the poll question. Chris, go ahead, Chris. You're next with Grace. Who do you got, Chris?
Howie Carr.
Trump derangement. I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Trump derangement is a cult list love for him. You got it backwards.
No, Chris. See, I find the Trump derangements to be like people like you who call up, and you probably hate Howie, you probably hate me, and yet here you are, listening, calling, waiting on the line, just because we like Trump and you don't. And that probably does keep you up at night. And that, to me, is Trump derangement. But don't worry. I'll add him to the list if that's what you'd like. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Who do you got, Mark?
Grace, this one disappoints me. Bruce Springsteen, been a fan for a long time, and this guy's talking about how there's no more joy in the White House and with Biden.
Oh, yeah, you bad connection, Mark. Sorry about that. Billy Mack, quickly, who do you got?
Hey, Grace, you should get Chris's number out there because I'm from Charlestown. I could pay him a visit. But anyway, Seth Meyers does not have a show unless he can mention Trump every other word.
Oh, that's true. Seth Meyers, the late night host, could have their own. No, we don't mind, Chris. We like people who call up and disagree. That's totally fine. More than welcome at the Grace Curley Show. We'll be back, guys. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I hope everyone is starting their weekend early, enjoying this beautiful Friday. We will get to the calls. We're asking people who's going to have the hardest time with this transition into a Biden administration. You'd think it would be the Trump supporters, but it's actually seeming more and more like it is the Biden supporters who have spent the last 4 years blaming every single thing on Donald Trump. And someone actually brought this up to me a few days ago. They said, you know, Trump was their common enemy, and it really helped them kind of squash some of the infighting that is very obviously going to come back. And when you have a common enemy, you can really bring people together despite their differences. Now that that common enemy is in Florida golfing, they're going to have to talk to each other and figure out their differences. And I don't think they're that good at that. I don't think they're that into civil discourse. It's really more my way or the highway. So we will see. But before I get to the calls, I have to say, Joe Biden was not wearing a mask on federal land. He was at the Lincoln Memorial, and after issuing a mask mandate for masks to be worn on all federal land, he decided that he didn't have to wear one. He was taking photos without one, and his press person, Jen Psaki, his press secretary, was asked about it, and she gave a very condescending kind of lightweight answer. I think I'll just play cut 14 for this.
But as Joe Biden often talks about, it is not just important the example of power, but the power of our example. Was that a good example for people who are watching who might not pay attention normally?
Well, Steve, I think the power of his example is also the message he sends by signing 25 executive orders, including almost half of them related to COVID. The requirements that we're all under every single day here to ensure we're sending that message to the public. Yesterday was a historic moment in our history. He was inaugurated as president of the United States. He was surrounded by his family. We take a number of precautions.
Okay, hold on right there. So yesterday was a historic day. He was celebrating, and he was surrounded by his family. I mean, everything's in the beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but I'm sure there are some parents who find that their children graduating would be a historic day for them. Maybe they'd want to celebrate with their family. Maybe a baby's born and people want to celebrate. Maybe there's a wedding. Remember those, Jared? Remember weddings?
Vaguely.
I'll tell you about them sometime. They were
a lot
wild.
Of music, I remember.
But that's the excuse. After she rambles for a little bit, you get to the core of what the excuse is. And the excuse is, well, Joe Biden's a beautiful person and he wanted to celebrate. And of course, he's not going to wear a gross mask on his face like the rest of you boat people. He's going to celebrate. He's going to breathe in the fresh air of the moment. He's the president now. And I thought, wow, that's an interesting excuse. It's a bad excuse. But then I started thinking about the other excuses we've heard. And so I put this to my Twitter. And I asked people, I said, who had the best excuse for being a COVID hypocrite? We had Nancy Pelosi, who said it was a setup when she got caught at the hair salon. She did not apologize at all. She was like Joe Biden. They are above reproach. Let me rephrase that. They are above the fray, which means they do not have to answer for their hypocrisies and their wrongdoings. So she said she was set up. And in fact, she said hairdressers have actually called me to thank me. So she was not only the victim in that situation, she was also the hero in a lot of ways. Then there was Biden. As Jen Psaki said, it was a historic day. He was celebrating. Then we had Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot. She gave two different excuses at two different times. One of them was when she got her hair cut after she had shut all the salons. And her excuse then was, I'm the public face of Chicago, or I'm the public face of the city. Her other excuse was when she was outside with Biden celebrators after Biden won the election. Her excuse then was, you know, we all need some relief. Sometimes there's a time you need relief. And then, of course, there was Governor Gavin Newsom. He did apologize, governor of California. He did apologize, but his original excuse was he was at his friend's birthday. It was a birthday, a lot of close friends, a guy I've known for a really long time. Care to guess, Jared, who's coming in at the lead out of those four really, really impressive excuses?
I'm going to have to say Nancy Pelosi in the lead. Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi in the lead in both polls. Nancy Pelosi running away with it with 45.6%. And I do have to say her excuse was the most obnoxious because she was so unapologetic and angry and vicious towards the press. And then she did her whole thing where she says, you know, does anyone here have any real questions? There's a lot of really important stuff going on. You know, if any of you care to look. She was horrified that the press dare, you know, talk back to her in that way. Michael, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Who do you think is the most Trump deranged, Michael?
I think we should add Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to the list.
I think that's a good one. Joe Biden does talk about bringing Trump behind sheds and challenges him to push-up contests and called him a fool, I think, at the debate, told him to shut up, man.
He called him a clown, too.
A clown. Thank you, Jared. Kamala Harris really stirred up a lot of doubt in the vaccine because she didn't trust Donald Trump. That's how far her derangement went. Rather than say, oh, listen, I might be vice president. I want people to take this vaccine so we can open the country back up. Again, that would be on a normal planet. This is on Trump derangement planet. She said, no, I will really make people fear this vaccine. So she definitely has Trump derangement syndrome. Those are two very good ones. Armando, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Armando.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to congratulate you. I've been listening to you since you started your show. And I just want to congratulate you and tell Howie that he picked a job.
Oh, thank you so much, Armando. That is so sweet. I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you so much for calling in. By the way, before we get to the rest of the calls here on Trump derangement, I do have to say, I'd be remiss if I didn't get to this story. President Biden appears to remove Trump's Diet Coke button from the Oval Office. I did not know this existed, and I feel like I failed the audience because I used to love Diet Coke. I was an addict. I was obsessed. I used to have like a Diet Coke at 10 in the morning. It was disgusting. And then I quit about 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, and I can't go near them. I can have a regular Coke with real sugar, but if I were to drink a Diet Coke, I'm afraid it's like what they say, one is one too many, one more is never enough. It'd be dark. So when I heard about this button, I was like, wow, I would have loved that back in the day when I was in college and I would just drain them. And then I started thinking, what would you want if you could press a button and have anything? You can only pick one thing, but you could have anything delivered to you on a silver tray. That's what they said. They said a butler would come in to the Oval Office with a silver tray. I did not know there were butlers there. You don't hear about butlers that often anymore. And I got a lot of good responses. Some people were being annoying about it. They were like, an ATM full of cash. That's, you know, like wishing for more wishes. I'm on to you. But Jared, I wanted to ask you, button on your desk at the board, what do you get?
At the risk of sounding like George Costanza, I would like a nice rare steak at the press of a button. He wanted the T-bone, but I would go with the porterhouse, which is the T-bone and the filet, if I had my druthers.
You know what? I was just going to criticize your choice, but it's your choice. I'm just worried about your heart. I mean, how many of that you got a button and you're going to get one of those like every day?
You're right. That's unhealthy. I'll say a slice of pizza.
Okay. There we go. That's like basically getting a water. Keep yourself hydrated.
It's practically a vegetable.
It really is. That's a good choice. Mark, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. What's going on, Mark?
Yeah, a couple minutes ago, somebody added Joe Biden's name to the list.
Yes, sir.
I disagree because I don't think Dementia Joe remembers who Trump is.
I don't think he has a visceral hate for Trump like everyone else does. And truly, it's not me saying that I think Biden's some decent, you know, ushering in unity type of guy. But I do think he's old school in the sense of, I don't think he takes everything so personally. I think he's kind of an old school politician where he can kind of go along to get along. So I would agree with you there. I don't think that Joe has that kind of the real Trump derangement that can make a star out of someone. I mean, it made him the president of the United States, but there were a lot of factors in that. Mark, you got anybody else?
That's it.
Thank you, Mark. All right, Jacob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Who do you got, Jacob?
Hi, Grace. Good to speak with you today. Really enjoy your show.
Oh, thank you.
I'm so glad you're on the air. I wanted to speak about something that was a personal level with me that was really bothering me and wanted to voice my concerns. I'm not sure if it bothers you. It's regarding the cats. I don't know. The University of Wisconsin has been testing the COVID-19 on the cats in Wisconsin, and they got federal funds to do that. And it's not much in the news. I don't know if people are aware they're actually testing the COVID on the cats with federal funds. And
they're testing the now, Jacob. Let me get this straight. Are they testing the vaccine on the cats?
No, it's not the vaccine. I read it's actually infecting.
Like COVID-19. A strain of it. Oh, yeah. You know, Jacob, I'm going to be honest with you, and I'll always do this on this show. If I don't know enough about something, I'm not going to comment. But I will look into it for you, and I'll see what I can come up with. I'm glad you brought it to my attention. I was not aware of that. 844-500-4242. When we get back on the other side, we're going to have Howie Carr. I do want to say, though, Jared, I have good news for you. We talked about this a little bit. And I made a prediction. Not all my predictions come true, but some of them do. And this one came true. Biden beats Trump again. Nearly 40 million people watched the inauguration ceremony across the six major news outlets. More than a million more than switched on for the 2017 event. Told you so.
That's how you get 80 million votes. Or 800 million or whatever he got. I don't know.
How many dead people were watching TV? You know, the dead voters. Get it?
I get it. Well, I mean, the one box counts as a family, right? Isn't that how the thing works?
I don't believe anything. It's so sad now. I don't believe anything I read.
I didn't know that there were 40 million people that worked at CNN.
It's a very good point, especially now that they're not in the airports anymore. Guys, when we get back, we're talking to Howie Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I cannot believe it's already the end of the week. It has really flown by. And the story of today was really the National Guardsmen were sent to the garage. They were in the Capitol building, and then, you know, what happened was a hall monitor named Will Keating discovered one of them at a Dunkin' Donuts without his mask on. So he did what every normal, totally not insane person does, and he tattletaled. He went up to the Capitol Police or one of the authorities and said, you know, the guy doesn't have his mask on. And then they got banished to the garage. So I heard this story and my immediate thought was Massachusetts congressman, Nancy Pelosi says all roads lead to Putin. I say all roads lead to Massachusetts. If it's a hack, if it's a corrupt politician of any kind, they have a root in Massachusetts. So, of course, the tattletale is a guy from Massachusetts. So I mentioned that to my boss, Howie Carr, and he tells me another bit of information about this man, Will Keating. Howie, welcome to the show. What can you tell us about Bill Keating that might be interesting to some people?
He used to be the DA of Norfolk County, where you are sitting right now, Grace. And his predecessor as the DA of Norfolk County, Bill Delahunt, became the congressman from that district where he represents. And when he left the DA's job, he got the pension system changed in Massachusetts, and DAs became part of Group 4 so they could retire at age 55 with a full kiss in the mail, 80%. And so Delahunt went out with a full kiss in the mail, and then all the, you know, 15 years later when Keating succeeded him at the age of, I don't know, 55, something like that, Keating since then has been taking not only his congressional salary of $180,000 or so a year, but he gets a state pension of $114,000, $114,059 to be exact. So he's making $300,000 a year. Grace, Why won't they get back to us? I told the Herald about this story. The Herald's had calls to the office for 2-3 hours now. I don't think Taylor's heard back from Keating. I mean, if I was accused of something as rotten as what he's accused of, I'd be shouting my innocence from the rooftops, wouldn't you?
Howie, what was the total amount of all the money?
I don't know what they get exactly on the congressional pay, but I'm guessing it's around 180,000. So 180,000 plus 114, so just round it off to 295 a year.
That's a lot of donuts. You could almost buy someone a cup of coffee with that kind of money.
Well, and, here's another thing, Grace. He lives his address on the South Shore or the Cape, wherever he is, his official address now. It used to be from Sharon. Is more than 50 miles from the Capitol. So guess what? He gets a write-off on all of his federal income taxes just about.
Aww.
So it's actually now that I think about it, it's more like about $400,000+ a year when you count the fact that he's not paying any income taxes on the 180,000.
But Howie, I think it really speaks to just a complete difference in mindsets of Republicans versus Democrats. Because first of all, I said this earlier, if you see someone in the National Guard and you don't have one of these two responses at a Dunkin' Donuts, one, to thank them for their service, or two, to buy them a cup of coffee, those are the two normal responses. In my daily life, I do not want to tell any other person what to do unless they ask me for advice. I'm steering clear. I don't engage with anyone. These people go out of their way to not just engage, but to annoy and then tattletale on people who are there to protect them.
You know, I used to know Keating pretty well. He used to be in the House, and then he was in the Senate. And he ran for Senate president against Billy Bulger. And he actually tangled with Whitey Bulger. He was one of the last people to ever see Whitey Bulger before Whitey went on the lam. On election day 1994, he was down in Norton, you know, which is right on the Rhode Island line, because they had gerrymandered his Senate district to try to beat him. And he runs into this old guy holding a Bulger sign with one of the Bulger kids. And the old guy just starts screaming these horrible curses and denunciations of him. And finally, Keating realizes that's Whitey Bulger. And he stuck around for like about an hour waiting for Whitey to lower the sign so he could take a picture of him. But he never did, so Keating just gave it up. So, I mean, so Keating has had a run-in with really violent people. I mean, you know, all these snowflakes are, I was in such danger. You know, when I was, when the guy with the horned hat and the face paint came in, he could have killed me. But, I mean, Keating actually probably got a lot of death threats. I know his office at the State House was broken into when he was running against Billy Bulger. They tried to, you know, plant bugs or, you know, steal his papers and find out who was supporting him. I mean, he's been through a lot. You'd think he would have more regard for the people that were there to protect him.
You would think. And Howie, this will make you feel a little bit better. I guess not a single member of the White House press corps asked Psaki about the National Guard made to sleep in a parking garage. So they're really keeping up their end of this.
But they
bargain.
Know what major, they know if, are you getting Major Alpo every mail or does he just get it for dinner?
It's absolutely insane. Howie, did you see the Chiron from MSNBC that said, many rejoice as Dems run White House, Senate, and House? That's a Chiron. Many rejoice. Like, it's a fact. It's completely insane. Guys, I'm talking to Howie Carr right now. You do not want to miss his show. Who knows? Maybe he'll have Will Keating on. Maybe he'll hear this segment and say, you know, I can't have Howie thinking less of me. I got to call
the show. Paging Bill Keating. Paging Bill Keating. Let's have some of that courage you showed in the parking lot at Norton High School back in 1994.
All roads lead to Whitey Bulger. Don't miss Howie's show. Thanks for joining us this week, guys. I'm Grace Curley, and this is The Grace Curley Show.